You're listening to Morning Edition on Red River Radio. I'm Chuck Smith. On this Tuesday, commentator Dr. Gary Joyner is here to explain how frost helped keep an epidemic down, showing that even the history of frost matters.
Harper's Weekly, the greatest national newspaper of the 19th century, ran a full-page image on October 19, 1878. The caption read, "Plague-stricken, waiting for the frost." Two women are seated at the base of a tomb, holding on to each other for comfort. They look toward a distant place to their left. A cross rises above them, entwined with ivy. At their feet are wildflowers and ferns. Behind them stretches the great Mississippi River. Massive clouds fill the sky above them. This image is one of the most poignant displays in the national media between the Civil War and World War I. Its unspoken plea is to end horrific suffering. During the autumn of 1878, the southern Mississippi Valley was gripped with a huge yellow fever epidemic, far worse than the deadly episode of 1873. North Louisiana, East Texas, and southern Arkansas had outbreaks of the saffron scourge, but nothing like the scale felt in Memphis and New Orleans. Those two cities had been largely spared when Shreveport and Marshall teetered on the edge of destruction. The 1873 outbreak surpassed Shreveport's per capita losses in just 5 years. Before autumn arrived, the epidemic reached from Gallipolis, Ohio, to the mouth of the Mississippi River. Over 200 communities were stricken in 8 states. Later, public health officials estimated that 120,000 people came down with yellow fever and that the death count exceeded 20,000. In Memphis alone, 20,000 people had remained in the city. Of these, 17,000 contracted the fever, and of those, 5,150 died. No one would know what caused the plague until the turn of the century, but they could anticipate when it would end. Hot, humid southern summers brought fevers approximately every other year during the 18th and 19th centuries, usually following a wet, warm spring. People also noticed that autumn, normally brief in the South, was late in arriving, and the months of September and October seemed to be the worst for these dangerous plagues. The most common idea was that the fever was caused by bad air or miasma. Rotting vegetation smelled bad, and there seemed to be no breeze to blow the fetid air away. People carried handkerchiefs soaked with perfume or cologne, held close to their noses so that they would not smell the bad air. The general belief was that if you could not smell the bad air, it would not attack you. These fevers and diseases were the greatest threats to public health. The one thing that everybody held on to was an earnest hope for an early frost. The cold seemed to always kill the fevers. Also, that October, a poem appeared in Frank Leslie's illustrated newspaper entitled "Waiting for the Frost." The final lines read, "All powerless, Lord, at thy dear feet we bow. If thou delay, how many lives are lost. We ask a blessing, never prized till now, the white gift of the frost." These prayers were answered during the first week of November. Almost immediately, the quarantines were lifted and people resumed their lives, but waited warily for the next hot, humid summer. Weather, that one thing that we cannot control, is often critical to our history, and weather, like history, matters.
History Matters is made possible in part by the Louisiana Endowment for the Humanities and Louisiana Cultural Vistas magazine.